You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three coming to you live from New York City, Seaport District, Pier 17 at the ESPN Studios. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, hour number three. What does that mean?
Huh? What?
Really?
The power hour!
Took you a minute, didn't it? Well, it took the Mets a minute. How do we feel about this? So they went through a longer than necessary process to find a general manager.
You think?
Yes. But they did, and he isn't someone that hasn't been in baseball in a couple of years, as we first thought might happen.
Also, we're excited.
Well, it's someone that has run a major league organization recently, though he did lose his job recently. Billy Epler was the general manager of the Angels and was let go last season. The one thing he wasn't able to do was really build up their pitching staff. You think, like, he did a really nice job building a roster, but it was pitching that was a major issue there. But the Mets add him, and why is this significant? Well, here's why. He'll be the fourth GM, by the way, in a year, in a 12-month span. And he's still going to be answering to Sandy Alderson. But Epler worked for the Yankees, and Brian Cashman gave him a glowing endorsement. Now, again, with the Angels, he had some success. I mean, he got Shohei Ohtani. But that was a big battle, and he
but
was.
They
the one.
Never won nothing out there.
Mike Trout's second extension, the big one, got him to stay. Anthony Rendon got him as a free agent.
Yep, remember
right.
That.
Made some deals, Justin Upton. But what was the biggest issue, of course, is they just didn't have enough pitching, which I think a lot of teams don't have enough pitching. That's a big, obviously, issue for them. Coincidentally, as the Mets haven't yet officially announced this, on the same day, though, that the news comes out that Epler will be their new GM, the one thing the Mets have always gotten right has been pitching. I mean, they stumble upon pitch. It's amazing how throughout the franchise's history, they have just come up with pitchers who have been fantastic.
Should have signed Wheeler, man.
Zach Wheeler. They let him go. But if you really think about, you know, again, DeGrom.
Harvey.
Matt Harvey, you know, emerging as he did, and then they obviously had to move on from him. And then you have, of course, Noah Syndergaard. Who they got, I mean, they had R.A. Dickey, who was fantastic. They trade him, they get Noah Syndergaard, and he turned into a star. Well, Noah Syndergaard decided that he'd rather take
enough is enough.
A one-year deal with the Angels at $21 million.
You can't make this up, right? Because the qualifying offer for the Mets was $18 million, right? So $3 million,
right?
$3 million to a team that you think, if you add DeGrom back healthy, that if Syndergaard comes back, Stroman, that they would have one of the best rotations, that they would be willing and able to win games and maybe.
But that's been
a lot more games than the Angels, though.
Man, that has been the conversation.
Who's been the bigger disappointment? Who's been the bigger disappointment? The Angels or the Mets?
You could probably put them on the same level. But I mean, the Angels have two of the biggest stars in the game.
And can't go nowhere.
Make the playoffs. Right? Never.
They don't even get to the playoffs.
You can't say that the Mets have had the biggest star. I mean, they have the best pitcher in the game. You could argue that. And DeGrom. And then DeGrom was injured and sort of threw the Mets under the bus when he talked about why the injury really
sustained. That dude was stepping in potholes, man. Stepping in holes or running from a hog or something, Cespedes.
You mean that story? I thought you were going back to DeGrom. DeGrom had his arm in an MRI sleeve or something like that and ended up injuring the elbow more, he says. And that, of course, makes things look even worse. But at least they get themselves a general manager. They get themselves now settled.
Is that the bar?
No, it is the bar.
Like, they just,
well, who's going to manage the damn
like,
thing?
Did they ask everybody?
Literally.
They asked everybody.
Literally. Yeah. They really did try to get as...
It's not a ringing endorsement, too, when somebody that's been in your building that you try to show faith to, that you've, you know, tried to get him pretty much what he got for a one-year deal. He said, no, I'd just rather just go somewhere else. It's not a ringing endorsement as far as culture and environment.
Well, look, not only, you know, Syndergaard leaves, which I'm telling you, if you turn down the one-year tender of 18.4 to take a one-year $21 million deal to go out west. Now, maybe you're looking at, let me get in the American League, let me go out west. Maybe he's thinking, let me just get away. Or is it maybe let me get away from this franchise?
Yeah.
Because, you know, what's the difference in money? And you're already established in New York. So there's something that Syndergaard's kind of an exodus that's about to begin. Because you mentioned Stroman. He's a free agent. Conforto, Michael Conforto, he's a free agent.
He turned it down. Too, like, right? Yeah. He turned down their qualifying offer.
I mean, so they've got some serious answers and issues and things to get this team where it was, believe it or not, midseason when they were in first place in the division.
First place longer than any other team in the history without
amazing.
Making a postseason.
Yeah, it's just incredible. So that's what they are right now. As I said a week ago, it doesn't matter who they hire as general manager because whoever it is going to have all the things that you need. And again, like I said, Brian Cashman, who has run the Yankees forever, who he worked for 10 years under Brian Cashman. So he's learned enough. He's already had the job, so you have an experienced guy as well. What matters, of course, is how they build this team. And on top of it, who's managing it? That's what matters. And does the owner stay out of the way? Because the question and concern has been, is the owner the reason why some people didn't want this GM job? Some of the best in the business that you had the ability to go out and hire. That is the. It's not about Epler. It really isn't. You shouldn't be concerned. He's experienced enough that he can do the job. What I'm worried about with Syndergaard leaving, and you couldn't get anybody else to really want the job, is what is this saying about the Met franchise and how it's viewed around the league?
Right. Well, we'll know how it's viewed.
And in Syndergaard leaving for essentially a little bit. Little bit more money, not a lot, a little bit, coming off of
Tommy John,
which, you know, again, like it's a bit of a gamble even on your part. And he'd rather leave and get a fresh start and go out to the West Coast. So there's a lot of things to look at the Met organization and say to yourself, what's going on there and can they get it right when you thought they did with a new owner who's got tons of money and seems to be willing to spend it?
Yeah. And it's like nobody wants to take it. I guess all money ain't good money.
Oh,
and, you know, it'd be interesting to see.
Now, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, forget the skipper that went over to the Yankees that's third base coach and the head coach. Rojas. There we go. Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, why are you looking at me like that? That was the punchline.
What was the punchline?
Well, just continue losing, right? And people see value in their players, but they don't see the value in the people that they have. And it's going to be interesting when free agency comes
up.
He's
not a manager, man.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between being a coach and a manager
in that sport. But it's going to be interesting to see who's willing to come over in free agency, like how they're able to compete, because you know they're going to have the money to offer. Let's see what people want to take it. You know, what type of deals do they have to pay, 10 cents on a dollar, over sticker price, just because people are coming to this market.
I'm telling you, for the Mets, it's never really been about talent. They seem to be able to acquire talent. It's never the right fitting talent, right? It's never. It seems to be too much of the same thing. Guys that can only play first base. Nobody that can play center field. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it always feels like. A catch. Like there's different areas of this team that you just scratch your head and go, why do you have a lot of that and not enough of this?
Yeah, it would be interesting if they're
just weirdly built roster.
It'd be interesting.
Your guy, Dom Smith.
Yeah. He needs to be in a Yankee.
So
that sweet left back.
We shall see.
And play first base. But it'd be interesting to see, like, Correa. Like, will they be in the market for the big
time? Speaking of free agents,
they got Lindor. They got Lindor.
But one thing you know about Correa, he's not going to play for the Yankees.
That's my point. So if he's eliminated himself from that sweepstakes, can you step in?
Apparently on this a Spanish language podcast, took shots at Derek Jeter, saying he didn't earn or deserve any of his 5 gold gloves. You don't put something like that out in the world, Spanish or English, you know, if you know, well, I'm never going to play in the Bronx anyway, so I could say this freely and not care.
Yeah.
Right?
And then that disdain for the Yankees, too. Like, you know, who knows how deep the hate goes between those guys. And, you know, but it's crazy because Johnny Damon, you know, came from the Red Sox and came over and played and was a Yankee. So,
yeah, but Johnny Damon didn't come in talking about how Mickey Mantle didn't deserve, you know, silver sluggers or anything like that. All right, so that's what's happening on the baseball front. Let's get back into the fight game. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Terrence Crawford is going to defend his WBO welterweight championship against Sean Porter this Saturday. ESPN Plus has it for you. And, you know, Crawford's considered ESPN's number two pound-for-pound fighter and has a lot on the line on this fight. And he is on the line literally with us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Now you got
sitting back relaxing.
Sitting back relaxing.
Good place to be.
Were you able to watch the fight last week between Plank and Alvarez?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, when you watched that, did it motivate you to want to maybe clean up the division and become the undisputed welterweight champion as well?
Well, I think I motivated all the other fighters to become undisputed, being that I became undisputed in junior welterweight division before all these fighters was even trying to become undisputed.
Now it seems like Sean Porter is like the next guy up. But it seems like, you know, all the people that you've beaten, you know, he kind of lost to. He lost to Kyle Brook. He lost to Thurman. And I know you haven't fought in Thurman yet. But is this just a necessary evil to kind of get this out the way? And then what's the next step after this fight?
Well, you know, Sean Porter is a tough opponent. I'm looking forward to this Saturday and being spectacular in my victory. We trained very hard. We did everything we needed to do in training camp. And the next step is, you know, this Saturday. My main focus is, you know, get this victory. And then after that, then we can start talking about the future.
Now, you know, talk about the present with Sean Porter. Sean Porter's a tough guy. I didn't realize that he started his boxing debut at middleweight. You know, is it plans to kind of handle the rough and toughness? Sometimes he comes in like a football player with that background. You know, is it belief in your camp that you can hurt him and you can stop him with a knockout?
Well, I believe, you know, that I'm strong as well, and a lot of people don't give me enough credit of, you know, my natural ability. But Sean Porter is strong as well. You know, he's gonna box, he's gonna come forward, and, you know, we're gonna be ready for whatever he brings to the table. You know, I play football as well. You know, I used to wrestle, so, you know, it's a fight. So whatever he brings to the table, we're gonna make sure that we're ready for it.
Now, you know, in watching your fights, man, I've always followed you, man. I love watching you fight, man. I love the ruggedness and the toughness. You got a nasty nature to your game. Now, when did you decide to switch left-handed? Do you prefer to fight southpaw, or is that just something that you naturally feel? Because it seems like, you know, you always start off as a traditional fighter, but you always turn southpaw. Is that just a feel-out phase, or you prefer fighting that way?
I don't know, man. It's something that I've just been doing since I was a little kid. It just stuck with me.
Terrence Crawford joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. The fight this weekend with Sean Porter, welterweight championship fight. You can see it on ESPN+. This is, under contract-wise, your last fight with Top Rank, I believe, right? Are you planning on re-signing after this?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, we never know what the future may hold. Right now, you know, I'm with Top Rank, and, you know, after this fight, we can sit down and I can talk to my team and we can see what's the best move for Terrence Crawford.
Now, like, Ugas kind of – I know for years it was rumored that you were going to fight Pacquiao. It was going to be kind of like the passing of the torch, but Ugas kind of got there first. Who would you like to fight, you know, next, you know, after the Porter fight? Taking for granted that it works out the way that you want it to work out?
Well, you know, like I said, you know, that's a fight, you know, that's to be talked about in the future. But again, you know, my 100% focus is on Sean Porter right now. And, you know, I'm really not thinking about any other fighter down the line right now to date.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because you obviously it's only in a couple of days, so you want to stay focused on that. With that in mind, he's an aggressive fighter as well. Tell us about what you're expecting in this fight from him and how you're preparing for it.
Well, I'm expecting, you know, him to be himself, you know, be fast, fast foot, you know, going to the body, pressure and boxing, you know, just mixing it up in there. I'm expecting a lot of looks from Sean Porter.
All right, Terrence, hey, it's great for you to join us again. Always good to talk to you. Good luck this weekend. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Terrence Crawford again, defending the WBO welterweight championship against Sean Porter. You can see it Saturday night, ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Bart, let's get back. And again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is the number to be part of the conversation, because I do want to get back to what we were talking about before we had Terrence Crawford on, and that is, you know, the Carlos Correa thing. Him saying that as a free agent with the Yankees, and I mean, Brian Cashman made it pretty clear that regardless of his affiliation with the Astros previously and his connection to, you know, that 2017 championship and the rivalry between the two teams and all that stuff and the allegations of cheating and whatnot. To have him say something about Derek Jeter, do you think he's aware of what he's like? Is that like him thinking, I'm not signing with this team anyway? Or is he not even thinking about it and he's just telling you what he really feels about baseball players and Jeter in general, who has been, you know, throughout his Jeter, obviously a great career, Hall of Famer, clearly, yeah. Obviously is. But like, no one ever really said, like, boy, the guy was just a dazzling defensive, you know, shortstop, right?
Right.
Like, is he just using that, like, when he says, you know, well, you know, he had five, he didn't really deserve them. And he's not thinking in the back of his mind, I can't say anything bad about Derek Jeter because I want to play for the Yankees. Derek Jeter owns, you know, the Marlins now.
Yeah.
He might not even look at him that way. Do you think that's going on here, or do you think there's an underlying message?
Well, I don't think it's an underlying message. Sometimes, like, it's weird, right? Because we know guys, and I can go down a list of guys that went to Pro Bowls that really weren't deserving of it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they didn't play well or it was more on reputation. You know, like, you know, anybody that knows about, you know, some of these awards, sometimes it's a popularity contest and, you know, the benefit of the doubt is given to the person that's a good guy that plays for the great organization and things of that sort. So, like, I think this is just him speaking his truth. You know, listeners out there, you know, baseball savants, they got to ask themselves, is it any credibility to what he's talking about? Right? Because, you know, if he plays the same position, you know, he has the guys that he think was deserving of it, probably being a fan while Derek Jeter was playing, and saying, you know, he didn't deserve it, right? But he's a great player and he's a Hall of Famer. But it was more about him being a good guy than it was about him being a Gold Glove caliber.
Yeah, but you still get awards for the – like, and Correa won the Platinum Glove, which means the best at his, you know, at his – regardless of position, best defensive player in the game.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to get that.
So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah,
so
he's a fantastic fielding shortstop. He obviously is also a very good offensive player. He's going to be worth a ton of money on the open market. He knows that too. And Brian Cashman said the whole connection, before Correa said this stuff, the connection with Houston and, you know, the rivalry between the Yankees and the Astros, he said that's not going to have any part of his thinking process when it comes to signing players, which you shouldn't as a general manager.
Yeah.
Fans not
take
whether
your
they
emotions,
like you
take your emotions out of
right,
it.
Whether they like you or not, put him in pinstripes and he's successful for us, you'll love him.
Exactly.
So don't worry about his past. If he can help us, we'll take him. But like I said, comments like this, I don't know, man. Like sometimes at players, current players,
a little hidden message taking a poke.
I don't know, man. It's just a matter of this.
Well, we know he's not going back to Houston.
I know
so.
Jeter wasn't a great defensive player. I know that as somebody that watched his career.
So was
pretty
he
much
deserved? Was he deserving a five?
If he was, why is it, why bring that up now? Why do we care? Why is that important to bring up?
Somebody asks a question, I'm sure.
I know, but
like, people
why
ask
be
me
disrespectful
about-
to somebody who's in the Hall of Fame, man? Like, come on, Bart, that's like you.
I've had conversations about people that was in the Hall of Fame that I didn't believe that would still be in the Hall of Fame. Like I said before, I don't think
Give me an example.
I don't think John Lynch is a Hall of Famer. Like, I think it's disrespectful to guys like Rodney Harrison, who, you know, had more interceptions, who had more sacks, who played just as long, and who was better players, right? I thought he was a glorified linebacker, right? I didn't think he was Ronnie Lott. Mm. You know, I thought he was a guy that played in a tremendous system that, you know, because he's a good guy, he speaks well, and he's now a general manager, they gave him the benefit of the doubt. But I did not think he was a Hall of Famer at all.
So what I'm learning is like what Correa says about Jeter, what you say there about John Lynch. This is a conversation that is exclusive to players.
Yeah, we had this all the time.
Like this is like fans might have an emotion about this to react to, and we invite you to at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is Correa right, or was he wrong to say what he said, saying that Jeter never deserved those five gold gloves?
Yeah.
I think he won three of them in a row, three straight years he won earlier in his career.
I think London Fletcher should be a Hall of Famer. I think Zach Thomas is one of the best linebackers I've ever seen.
But what I'm seeing, though, from what you just said, is that there are some conversations and some debates that are strictly for the elite group, that is, those who played professionally at a high level.
Absolutely.
And that's what maybe this is about. Because he does play it at a very high level. When you're the best defensive player in baseball,
he knows.
He kind of knows what he's talking about, and maybe we should consider it. Now, the stats will come up to prove whether or not. Jeter's one of the great clutch players in the history of the game. You can't deny that, defensively and offensively. One of the great clutch players in the game. He's made hustle plays and clutch plays.
But that's different but than overall, if he's a gold glover.
Yeah, overall, would I make him? No, I don't know if I would put him. You don't put him in that category. But I wouldn't say he was a terrible defensive player.
It's just.
But he had moments where he made the spectacular on the defensive end.
Athletes don't like people getting credit that they don't deserve, because in this league, everything is earned in football. Everything is earned in baseball, right? So they don't like seeing people get things that they didn't deserve. Yeah. So it has nothing to do whether you think he's a Hall of Famer. Now, you can still think he's a Hall of Famer and say he got preferential treatment. He didn't deserve it. You want everybody to be treated equally.
All right. Well, we'll take your calls on this. And also this question, should there be a concern that the Jets' former coach the Jets' current coach responded to comments from the Jets' former coach? Should he have even dove into those waters? We will dive into them next after we tell you about Advanced Auto Parts.
Of course. We're brought to you by Die Hard, America's most trusted auto battery. We know you have places to go, so don't let your battery hold you back. Get an auto battery that is trusted from the start. Count on reliability, durability, and the power of Die Hard batteries to get you on the road. Available at your local Advanced Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores. Back with your calls after this. We promise. Call in. We need you. I'm tired.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Well, you get Bart and Hahn right now on ESPN Radio, and we are brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. We got calls on this Carlos Correa, Derek Jeter dust-up. Mm. If you are just joining us on a Spanish-speaking podcast, Carlos Correa, who will be a free agent, or actually is a free agent, and is expected to be pursued by the Yankees, among other teams, of course, did say something about Derek Jeter regarding his gold gloves. He has five in his career. He said he didn't deserve them, suggesting, of course, he was not good enough to be a gold glove shortstop, at least of a five-time gold glove shortstop. Remember, Derek Jeter is also a unanimous Hall of Famer.
Well, but what's that about? It's other guys that deserve to be unanimous.
Oh, that's not true, of course. But still, him saying this, of course, upset some people. And that's the question I ask. Because you suggested it. There are athletes that do say this about other former athletes, that it's sort of a conversation that is exclusive just to athletes, not necessarily fans who have a little more emotion about it. And I just asked the question, is Correa wrong to say this? Let's start with Ray in New York City. Ray?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, I agree 150% with Bart, okay? There are certain things that are spoken about, okay? And that can be done in the baseball community the same way. I have so much respect for what Bart said, okay? He's got an opinion. He played during the era, during some outstanding DBs, okay? And he voiced his opinion. But he didn't do that on a platform, on a podcast. Now, if that's Carlos Correa's opinion, that's his opinion. But to do it on a podcast, not right. Now, my thing is, I watched Derek Jeter's entire career. I'm old enough to remember when he came up, and I was lucky enough to watch him through his entire career. And I also remember some of the shortstops throughout the league during his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not. Repeat, was not the best shortstop his entire career. Some will say he wasn't even the best shortstop on his team when A-Rod was on the Yankees.
You could say that, of course. That part, I think, and Alex Rodriguez was so much wanted to be a Yankee, he agreed to move to third because Jeter wouldn't do it. Right? Thanks for the call. You know, that is certainly part of it. But yeah. I mean, there was a lot of that talk about whether or not he was even the best one on his team, but was he the best one in the league? Well, you could say, no, he wasn't. Let's see. But like I said, he might not have been a guy that you looked at and thought, well, the guy was a fantastic defensive player, but he was clutch. Nick is on Long Island. Nick.
Hey, how you doing, guys? So I think there's a couple things that we have to realize that it's not just about physical ability. And I understand that Jeter may not have had the range that some of the other players did. But when it comes to awareness and being able to determine what's going to happen next, then decision-making and then execution. These are the three things that all sports are based off of. So he was able to make that decision and then execute perfectly. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Mark Teixeira who said that Jeter always threw the perfect ball right in the pocket, didn't have to stretch. It was just always perfect. And I think that is what separated him from some of the other elite shortstops in the league. So I don't believe that Carlos Correa is like, now mind you, I'm from Milan, so I am biased, but I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible in this type of scenario. But I really don't think that he's the smartest player on the field, and his decision-making is unparalleled.
That's the part that makes you clutch. Yeah, no, I got you, Nick, and that's the part that makes you clutch. Like, Nomar Garciaparra was a better fielder, but Jeter was clutch. And the jump throw became a trademark. Like, there was something about it. But does it make him the best shortstop in those 3 years and all that stuff?
But you assume that, you know, the – who'd you say? I can't say that last name.
Who? Nomar?
Yeah, Nomar.
Garciaparra.
Yeah, just say yeah. Nomar. I say Nomar.
Yeah.
That does
him
just,
and A-Rod. Like, those were the best of the time.
But so to say that Nomar doesn't possess the same skill set, that maybe he possesses a different skill set, but it's just as dominant, maybe more dominant than Jeter's baseball acumen. Right, so it's like one of those things that people say, well, this guy was just
Omar Vizquel. Like, there's plenty of these guys that in that era that were great.
I mean, we knew that A-Rod was a better shortstop on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, he got his way, right? He didn't do the team-friendly thing, right? Because the team-friendly thing was to let the best player play at the position. So was Jeter a little selfish and entitled? Yeah.
Well, because he was an original.
Because of his team.
A-Rod, you want to come here, you got to come here and play third team. Because I'm not moving from short.
But I'm better than you.
It doesn't matter.
At this position. See? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And the team team didn't say, hey, Derek, we're going to move you over to third.
So listen.
Probably because he didn't have the arm strength.
So don't give me the whole best player plays thing. Because the best player didn't play.
Well, you know that doesn't work that way. One more here on this because it's an interesting way to put it. Mike is in Virginia. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you guys about the arm strength and stuff, but I think that Correa is a prisoner of his youth. You know, we never talked about Jeter being a terrible shortstop and like Bart did with John Lynch when he said Harrison, he thinks Harrison should have been, who would you have put in instead of him? Who would you have given the Golden Gloves to instead of Jeter? Because I never remember anybody complaining about Jeter at shortstop.
No, it wasn't like people were saying this guy's terrible. I think, again, what Correa is doing is looking back on the career and talking about it in that way. Probably because, again, like I said, he was named the best defensive player in the game. Like not just at his position, but in the game. And he's best shortstop in the game as well.
Yeah, he's overqualified to be able to know what to look for and what makes a great shortstop, because he's a great shortstop.
Now, on this also, we talked about this a little bit earlier on. Robert Saleh with the Jets, Bart. And in his response, again, this is from the Michael Kay Show, where we know Rex, and we played it yesterday, Rex Ryan, really highly critical of Saleh, the resume, everything about his career that matches up. It's almost parallel to Rex as far as great at the podium, defensive guy with a defensive resume, a rah-rah kind of guy, players coach, all that stuff. And Rex seeing this Jets team go 2-7 and give up a historic amount of points over a four-game span. So don't ever compare me to this guy again.
Rex Ryan just excoriated you today. He said, why should people compare him to me? He's not me. He's had bad defenses. He's not showing emotion on the field. He really tore into you like I've never heard a former coach tear into a present coach. Your thoughts on what Rex said?
Guys, I honestly, you know what? I've never met Rex. I've never had a conversation with Rex. I don't even know him, except for people who know him throughout the league. So obviously, if it's that personal for him, he knows where to find me. So,
were you surprised that he said it?
I'm not surprised by him. He's always got something to say.
See, but this is what people don't understand. When you're in the media, of course, every day you have to say something. It's
right.
Kind of five times a day. So, like, it's our responsibility. That's what we get paid to do. People ask us our opinions, and somebody probably said, hey, Rex, what do you think about Saleh?
That's literally what happened. DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Yeah, he didn't volunteer.
We're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't volunteer the information. He would have kept it to himself. But if you ask me a question, and especially I understand what it's about, and I'm in the media, I know why you had me on here, I have to answer it.
And he was tired of hearing the comparisons.
Yes.
And so when he sees a team at 2-7 with a terrible defense, and he said, Rex in his time with the Jets made the playoffs the first 2 years, got to the conference championship game, didn't make the playoffs after that, the last 4 years, didn't. But his defense every year, the worst it was 11th in the league. It never were lower than 11th in the league. Right. So the defense every year,
no,
you knew,
was
showing up. Robert Saleh comes in with a defensive resume, and the defense is not living up to the reputation that he came in with. And so Rex wanted to let people know about it. But did Saleh give the right response here, especially where the record is, where he is right now, and knowing that anything he says is going to get blown up because it is New York and everything is magnified? We ask you, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your thoughts on this. And also, the Knicks won a game last night, and they have a chance to go streaking. I'll explain. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn. Defenses understand that. They know Eric Bieniemy tendencies.
Jay Will.
I am protecting him at all costs.
And Max.
Justin Fields, to me, should have been holding the Clipper for a year.
Don't miss a minute with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Mornings starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 as well, in case you're looking for us there. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any portion of the show, we had a jam-packed show today. A lot of guests. Frank Gore, he's going to fight Darren Williams. Keyshawn Johnson. Jay Will was all fired up talking NBA. If you missed any portion of it, oh, and Terrence Bud Crawford as well. You can find all 3 hours of Bart and Hahn Posted Daily as a podcast, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of you want to sound off on these two very hot topics, one being Carlos Correa basically saying Derek Jeter never deserved any of his gold gloves. Why would you say that? And then also Robert Saleh versus Rex Ryan. Was Saleh right to respond the way he did? Was he provoked, or should he just taken the Belichick way? So you have just, you know, like Bart, would it have been better if after Michael Kay said to him, boy, Rex Ryan really excoriated you, that the response from Robert Saleh should have just been,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the perfect response to almost everything.
Yeah, it really is. When you don't know what to say, just say,
yeah.
And leave it at that. The Knicks come back and win a game finally after, you know, they have their struggles in the third quarter. They beat the Pacers last night, and it felt like a game from the 90s. It was like, was it 92-86 or something like that? It was just a low-scoring game. But now, all of a sudden, you look at the schedule. They've got Orlando Magic Wednesday at home. And then Saturday, they've got the Rockets. Two teams that are young, kind of struggling. If they want to get right, they can. And, I mean, because it sets up. You've got to sweep the week, get your 10 wins, and then get yourself into a week, a Thanksgiving week that brings you the Bulls, the Lakers, and the Nets down the stretch to finish out the month. So that's what you've got to look forward to. On that front, the Lakers struggling, getting LeBron back. Nets tonight. What a game tonight at Barclays. This game, Nets, Warriors, Steph Curry, KD. Yeah, that's a hell of a game. That's going to be fun to watch tonight. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go down the line. Let's see. We got different takes on different things. How about Scott in New Jersey? Come on, Scott.
Hey, what's happening, guys? How you doing?
Good.
I'm a longtime 49ers fan, and I'm not really happy with Robert Saleh with what he said. I know he's a fiery guy. I appreciated everything he did for us, but he should have had a much different answer. He doesn't know Rex Ryan. He said that. That's fine. But he doesn't realize he's in New York, and you really have to temper what you say because all of New York is listening, and it's your first year there, and you got to be careful.
And Scott, more importantly, you're 2-7. Like you know, you just leave it there. Like, you know, you're 2-7. It's just easy to say, man, I got to focus more on the Dolphins and getting this team in the direction it's going in. And then when you're 7-2 in one season, then you could say, where's Rex Ryan now? Sean in Queens. What's up, Sean? Hey, Sean.
Dead air.
Sean's out. Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Chris.
Bart, Han, what's up, guys? Listen,
how we doing?
I was just debating my friend all day, and it's not. I don't think it's a debate. The Chiefs are a top 10 team. They're number 9. There aren't 10 teams better than them right now.
I mean, the way they looked on Sunday night made you feel like that's all right. That's the Chiefs that we're used to seeing. Now, are we going to see that for the rest of the season? You know, or was that more the Raiders? Like that's the team we're used to seeing, Chris. And if I see that for another week, I'm with you. I think I put them back into my confidence meter for teams I can see making the Super Bowl, because every year you think they should be one of those Super Bowl contenders. Real quick, Tom in Ohio. Tom.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Carlos Correa saying that about Jeter.
Yep.
Isn't the gold glove based on your lack of errors for how many balls you get hit? It's not like it's voted on by the players or the coaches.
Yeah, I believe there's something to that. Yeah, I wish I could tell you the details of how that is voted. I don't know that, but it's along the lines of look, each year, you know, it's based on whether or not you are a good defensive player at your position. He won it. Correa felt like he didn't deserve it.
Was A-Rod sitting over there like, that should be
like
nice.
Telling people, yeah, I don't know. But I feel like a guy like Jeter, you don't necessarily have to throw mud at him. But Correa did. Now I wonder if he'll have a future in New York. Bart, this was fun. I'll see you tomorrow.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.